cliffcentral.com. Broadcasting from the first floor of the Cliff Central headquarters in Rivonia, Johannesburg, it's the Gareth Cliff Show. And now, here's your host, Gareth Cliff. With the beautiful Mamali Molloy.
Hello.
And with the very, very talented Michael Fox.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
Yeah. Yes, we're all here except for Ben, who is on a little holiday with Daniela.
In Phuket.
What is that?
He is in Phuket.
Oh, you call it Phuket? Is that how you pronounce it?
I mean, phone.
Yeah, that is kind of how you should pronounce it, right? That's about right. Actually, you're spot on. Oh, good morning, everybody. What's happening? Tell us what you got up to this weekend, if you did anything fun especially. What did I do this weekend? I worked. Well, we've got only a couple of days until we launch touchcentral.fm.
Very exciting stuff.
South Africa's music channel online that will change your life. For those people, you know, we've got to remember, not everybody likes to listen to talk.
Mm-mm.
Some people need a bit of music in their life. So you'll have the option for both. And we're going to be doing some interesting stuff. All I can tell you at this stage is there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Lot of surprises.
Lots of very interested parties. Lots of very cool opportunities. Lots of excitement. It's just going to be great. I can't wait to tell you all the details. Keep it on cliffcentral.com until we can tell you all the details on touchcentral.com. It launches in at the end of this month of August.
August.
And sure. Besides all of that, I had a pretty chilled weekend, actually. Especially Saturday night, Sunday morning. I tried to watch The Conjuring 2.
Is it on?
Which is terrifying.
Okay. You tried.
Oh, what's horrifying. It's just a horrible movie. It's just scary.
So you didn't succeed in watching it?
I watched half of it. But it still bothers me that I haven't finished it, so I might have to watch the rest of it at some point.
Is it as scary as they say?
It's pretty damn scary. Do you remember we made a big fuss of the trailer?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then people dying after watching it and going missing.
Look, I think that's nonsense. I think the movie studios put those stories out like it's hype.
Were you nervous a bit? Like, you made sure that a light was on when you watched it,
alone? Yeah. I'm actually a bit of a pussy when it comes to this stuff. So I make sure there's some lights on somewhere. Does me no good to be watching some scary movie with the lights off.
Because all of a sudden you start seeing weird shapes. And
oh my God, and every sound changes to the sound of a monster.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all in our heads.
I'm really scared of this. I watch a scary movie and I just want to get into bed and hide. And in this movie especially, because the gist is that there's this family in this house in England, and they've moved into a house, and there's an old dead man whose spirit is still in the house.
Mm.
And he wants them out.
Oof.
But then it's mixed with the story of this Amityville couple who can speak to spirits and... You know, they're the kind of exorcists that are brought in, the professionals who are brought in to help clear it out. And that story is pretty scary as well. But I'm not going to give anything else away because, first of all, I don't know how it ends.
Do you ever feel like when you're watching these stories of ghosts and spirits that the ghosts and spirits in your house might see this and, like, wake them up?
Yeah, start getting ideas.
Yeah.
Oh.
A revolution.
Look, I don't know that there are ghosts and spirits in my house.
Have you had it cleansed?
No, first of all, I don't believe in that stuff. It's just sheer human paranoia. It's like it's just our mammalian evolutionary past coming back to haunt us and make us, you know, basically it's your imagination. And fear and pleasure are the only two things that get an immediate adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah.
So your body creates these situations in your head that give you a bit of a thrill. I think the chemicals are dopamine and serotonin, right? And it gives you a bit of a thrill. You're like, oh my God, there's something behind me. Or, ooh, that feels nice. Those are the only two options you have.
Doesn't it also have to do with generations of storytelling where, you know, we've been taught when you die, your spirit gets released.
Right.
Some spirits ascend into heaven and then others, they for some reason, they just feel like chilling still.
Absolutely.
And making life difficult for you.
Right. No, you're 100% right, because we've all been told stories since we were kids.
Yeah.
And the storytelling is the one thing that we all kind of get together on, and it makes us all feel good and communal and excited and happy to be a part of this. And, you know, that's the way we are. So storytelling is where I suppose we feel this kind of connection with other people and with our own past and with our own future. And ultimately, the thing that bothers us the most is that we might die and that might be the end. We don't like that idea at all.
That it all comes to an end.
That it all finishes. And some people think that that's not possible, and some people think that is possible. I'm not going to criticize you this morning on a Monday and tell you that you're right or wrong either way. But as far as I'm concerned, that's also the reason that we like hearing about ghost stories. As much as they scare us, we think, oh, well, then that proves that there is something on the other side. Makes people feel like that, you know, something carries on. It doesn't just stop when you draw your last breath. And maybe some people like that. It gives them comfort. Okay, a couple of messages to start our morning, Mubs. Bright and early. Avi from New York says he watched Blink 182 rock out live in Philly from the front row and center. 40 degrees, lots of wet, sweaty biceps and titties rubbed up on me all night. But those guys still have the passion for punk rock. It was so worth it. And he has sent a picture of Blink 182 on stage. Wow. You must have been really close. I mean, that is up front. That's amazing.
Last I heard, that band called it quits. It was Blink 182, and then I think they changed their name to Sum 41, and then they were just...
No, Sum 41's a different band.
Did Blink 182 not change their name?
No. Flat, well, no. I don't know if they
Blink 182 is always Blink 182. Yeah, no.
I thought they also ended it.
No, they've been around a long time, and they continue to do well. I mean, they might have gone a bit quiet in terms of releases of songs, but they still have a huge following.
They must be old now. Very old.
Well, look at those pictures. I don't think they look too bad. Punk rock doesn't age. Have you ever seen Iggy Pop?
Who's that?
Exactly. Go and look him up. Go look up Iggy Pop right now. I want to hear your first reaction. Josh Todis says, good morning, Gareth, Mabale, Ben, Flax, and Pashita. Gareth, I have a question. When Touch Central launches, how will your show, specifically from 6 to 9, be broadcast on Cliff Central, Touch Central, or both? Or how will that work? Thanks, have an excellent day. Well, you've hit the nail on the head. And to be perfectly frank, I'm not going to tell you yet. But I'm thinking we'll be live on one and we'll be podcast on the other.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Michelle says, it was my birthday yesterday and it was great. Well, happy birthday, Michelle. And Kieran says, Gareth, they finally found Ben's long-lost sister. That story about the Cambodian jungle woman who returned home after her true identity was revealed. Maybe that's why Ben is there, to collect his long-lost sister.
Oh, okay.
Who was raised in the wild like him.
Okay, all right. Well, that makes sense.
Speaking of Ben, who's not here at the moment, he's away this week with Daniela. They're on a little holiday. His dad will be standing in with a sport this morning, which is very exciting. And also later on, Nomuzi Mabena. They call her Nomuzli. She is on Twitter as Nomuzli. And she is a rapper. She is an MTV bass VJ and a lot of other cool things too. We met her when she came with us to that school in Soweto, the Ikwezi Primary School, where we got painting. And she was one of the guests there as well. Is that right, Flax?
That is spot on.
Did you find Iggy Pop?
Yes. Looks like
a sack
like
of...
But like Steven Tyler with the hair and the blonde and the body shape.
But he's a really old man.
But looks like a guy that's not going to age. Still got a six-pack, basically.
Well, but he's old.
Yeah. He's ancient.
He's a bit leathery.
Yeah.
Right.
But really, I'd like to have a body like his.
Sure,
at
your
his
old
age. Even at my age.
Sure. Lubabalo says, it pains me, Ben, that you won't be here on cliffcentral.com this week. You left at the wrong time with the Olympics on and everything else. And he refers to a tweet that Ben put up. Feels like it's been an eternity, but thanks to Wade Dreamer, that's Wade Finnickiak, we'll talk about that in a moment or two, South Africans today are beaming with pride from an epic sports performance. Yes. Well, we'll talk about sport in about 15 minutes' time. But right now, let's get into some news and find out from Mabale Moloi what we need to know to start our week. There's only a little bit of information that you need to know, but all of it is contained in the next 15 minutes. No pressure, Mavs.
All right, coming out strong this morning.
Yeah. No.
Well, thank you, Gwede. And what you do need to know, according to Gwede Mantashe, after their four-day NEC meeting in Pretoria yesterday, or in Centurion, I think it was.
Yeah, they had an NEC meeting. Can you imagine that meeting? Ooh. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that meeting?
Well, what came out of that meeting, or at least what they were prepared to tell us, is that the ANC NEC are taking collective responsibility for their disappointing election performance. Remember, there were concerns that maybe the Gauteng ANC were going to be held responsible and, you know, they would have to deal with unfair repercussions as a result of people wanting them to be pushed out. But Gwede Mantashe says that no, the NEC will take collective responsibility for the party's disappointing performance in some parts during the local government elections.
You know, Mabs, if I was still on Twitter, I would have put out a prayer for David Makura on Friday.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it doesn't seem it was necessary.
No, not necessary. I think some of us would also have been prepared to, you know, slaughter a goat or something, just to ask the ancestors for help. Just, you know, please protect Premier David Makura. It really wasn't all his fault alone. The ruling party's top leaders have met in Centurion over 4 days. The party lost in Nelson Mandela Day and Tshwane, and they have to form a coalition in Johannesburg in order to remain in power. And I did see Justice Malala retweeting that the ANC and the AIC have apparently agreed to go into some kind of coalition. Now, I don't know if this coalition gives the ANC the 50% that they need.
But didn't the ANC hate the AIC because they'd stolen most of their letters?
You know, they stole most of their letters and their party colors are basically the same as the ANC.
Maybe the AIC was just a bullshit story to persuade dumb people to vote for someone else.
Oh, boy. Mantashe says that its performance, the ANC's performance in the elections, is a setback in the agenda of transformation. He also said that the party have clearly heard the messages of the people, and they say that they will address their concerns. He says there are certain negative perceptions of the ANC which must be addressed. The perceptions that the ANC have become arrogant, self-serving, and soft on corruption must be addressed, Gwede said.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is the thing, is have you come to the point where you no longer believe a single thing that is said by the ANC? Because some people, you know, were hoping that if the ANC get the shock to their system that they need, they might change. And so my question is, then do you think when they tell you that they are going to change that you will believe them? Or is it too far gone now for you?
Get out right here, man. Okay. Shit, I'm saying.
All right.
Get out here for real. I'm saying get out here for real.
Okay, all right.
No, it's nonsense. You know, but this is great news for the EFF and for the DA.
Mm.
Great news for them. Let us just take a moment if we think that the EFF and the DA deserve a couple of the votes that they got this last election. Let's take a moment to bask in the fact that they will, and Ray Hartley, who's the well-known journalist and former editor of the Sunday Times, among others, Ray Hartley says he reckons the ANC will only get 48% in 2019 if they keep rallying behind the president.
Oh, dear.
Now, that means more than half the votes in this country will go to the opposition in whatever form that takes, whether it's the EFF, whether it's the DA, or whether it's the Smolanyana parties together.
Mm.
But basically that the ANC will find themselves in a situation over the next 2 years where they will lose half of the country. They will lose the right to govern. The ANC put themselves in a hiding to nothing. Not in my words, Ray Hartley.
48% by 2019.
He reckons that if they keep on rallying behind President Zuma and they keep going in the direction they're going, and they follow the promise that Gwede Mantashe made yesterday, that they're going to collectively take responsibility, it's the end. They will not govern this country by 2019. How's that for interesting? We'll have coalition politics before we even know it. Now, isn't that interesting? I mean, isn't that both at the same time, you're thinking, oh my God, ANC, pull yourselves together. You had an NEC meeting for nothing. That's basically what they did, for nothing. We're in exactly the same position we were in before they had the NEC meeting. So half of you is going, ugh, this was a pointless exercise. The other half of you is going, well, actually, if that's what they're going to do, if they stand for nothing, they'll fall for anything. 48% in the next election. Bye-bye. Thank you for coming. We don't need you anymore. You're out.
Well, I mean, the ANC had the NEC meeting over the weekend, but if you want to talk about the wrong timing, in a News 24 exclusive, there's a news story which, you know, has dragged the president's name yet again into what could be nefarious activities.
Uh-oh.
Mystery surrounds payments in excess of 550 million rand to a known ANC benefactor and friend of the president by a tender-rich IT security company. The company in question is Siyangena Technologies. It's a Pretoria-based company that won disputed contracts from PRASA worth 4 billion rand.
Wow.
They paid large sums of money to companies directly linked to Chokalingam Roy Moodley, who is said to be...
Chokalingam is his name?
Listen, you know, I don't make these things up. Chokalingam Roy Moodley, who is said to be a benefactor and friend of the president.
How can you be angry with someone whose first name is like Chokalingam? Chocolate with something else added to it to make it even better.
He is a well-known Durban businessman and public friend of the president and also of the ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
Three independent sources have confirmed the payments. Siyangena is co-owned by soccer boss Mario Ferreira.
Mm-hmm.
Whose relationship with Moodley seems to involve more than just business.
Pay back the money.
They are also co-owners of local racehorses One Man's Dream and High Society.
Pay back the money.
These developments follow a criminal complaint which was lodged against Siyangena Technologies by private forensic investigator Paul O'Sullivan back in 2015.
Hmm.
O'Sullivan says the investigation into PRASA's contractors should determine whether any payments to individuals like Moodley were corrupt.
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
We are talking about payments in excess of 550 million rand.
Ka-ching.
Jeepers, there is so much money.
It's a lot of cash lying
there
around.
There is a lot of money just exchanging hands out there.
500 million. You know, that's not money that you drop out of your wallet because you moved it from your left pocket to your right pocket and you know, some coins fell out. You know what I mean?
No.
It's a lot of cash.
That is serious money. That's half a billion rand.
Right. That makes Gandla look like nothing. It's a lot of money. How did this happen?
I just want the story to keep developing just so I get to say Chokalingam Moodley every now and again.
Hey, do you want to go to Rob in Amsterdam, who's very high on Skype?
Sure, why not?
Let's go to him. Hey, Rob, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Garrett and the crew? Bali, Ben.
You're pretty high, eh, Rob?
No, I'm not even high. Like, surprisingly, today I'm not, but it's because it's so early in the morning and I'm sitting on my balcony in this, like, most regal street.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam. So, yeah, I messaged you guys before, and like, I always wanted to call in because I listened to the podcast, and I was like, finally, you guys requested, like, international callers, so I thought, today is my day on Monday. I was even telling people about it yesterday. I was like, I'm going to call in to, like, my local radio station.
So, oh, wow. Nice, man.
So, all right, it feels super privileged, but yeah, anyway.
I don't believe you're not high, yeah. But let's just put that aside for a minute, because you are... You are in a place where it's not illegal, and why shouldn't you be? What do you do for a living there in Amsterdam?
Yeah, so I used to live in Cape Town, and like I was like working at like this FTB, you know, agency, like advertising.
Right.
I was like sitting at my desk one day, and I was like, I got an Italian passport, so it really helps if you're trying to move abroad. And then, like, some of my mates lived here. And then one day I was just sitting at my desk and I was like, is this where my story ends? Is it like Rob Ransom? Like, he lives in FCB Cape Town and he gets married and has like kids. And that's just his life there. Chapter one, boom, family, crib midgets, he's done. I was like, no, dude.
Crib midgets.
would you have been miserable? Would you have been miserable to just end up Rob with two kids and live in Cape Town married to the same woman for like 20 years? Would that bother you?
Yeah, man, it's just like, you know, it's just like my trail could have not ended like living in Cape Town. Obviously, that's my home. I love it and I will go back one day. But man, you got to be adventurous. You got to travel.
Speaking of your trail, where are you blazing a trail now? What are you doing?
Okay, so basically I'm working for a company called like David Lloyd. It's like a string of like high-end gyms.
Uh-huh.
And I do like the marketing and shit for it. So it's pretty
good. Is it easy to land a job in Amsterdam?
No, dude. Let me tell you guys, like, for anyone listening on Cliff Central who wants to come and like live in Amsterdam, don't be thinking you're going to catch a plane and be getting off here and be living this life. Haha, that's the biggest joke. Dude, the amount of red tape that's in this place. Okay, so just a quick rundown. To live here, you have to get a registered address. You have to get a BSN number. You have to get a bank account. You have to have a health insurance. Like the amount of hoops you have to jump. You have to really want to live here.
So how
you
long?
Don't just be getting off a plane.
How long did it take you to do all of that?
Like, okay, I got lucky because I had friends here, but it took me like a month. But to find a spot in Amsterdam to stay, like central-wise, like you're not going to be staying in the sticks. So like if I was staying in Cape Town, to find a place is like super hard to stay like in the district. Like,
right.
I mean, I took like 9 places. And it's not like you view a place and they're cool. They interview you. Like they want to stay with you. You got to be like, there's 6 other people that'll pay probably double what you're paying just to stay there. So it's gnarly, man. It's like you really want to live here, but man, it's beautiful.
So
like,
no wife and kids for you, but is there a girlfriend at least?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
I'm in the process of
a local
like,
girl.
Dutch chicks are like really tricky because they either all in or they don't even want to speak to you. It's like all in, and like you're an exotic fruit. You're from SA, dude, so you got that flair, you know, that accent. I mean, they be loving it, but they don't trust you for shit. Anyway. Because, yeah, you know, you're like, you're from SA, dude. You just got that thing about you, but they love SA guys. I'm not going to lie.
Somehow I get the sense that you'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah, but I'm going to come back there. Like, I say, like, I love Amsterdam, but man, SA, like, you just can't beat it. Like,
you
I live in Cape Town, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, dude. Thank you very much. Listen, Rob.
Yeah,
good to hear from you. Call us again.
Yeah, like whenever you guys want to chat or like say, you know what I'm saying? Like if there was like, I'm not saying there's going to be, but if there's like a terrorist attack in Amsterdam, I'm not saying there's going to be, but no. Like I thought there was going to be on Gay Pride, but if there is, then I'll be like your port of call. Like you call it, like, Rob Amsterdam, what up?
All
like
right.
Listen to him.
All right, dude. Listen, you have a happy day.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man. Let's right, stick to be on the show.
Bye-bye.
I'm like your biggest fan. How are you?
Thanks, bro.
Cheers, boy. Bye. Cheers.
What okay. A cool guy. There he is.
He says he's not high, but I'd like him to call us when he is high then for next time.
Actually, do that, Rob. Yeah, we're only going to put you on again if you are high. What do you say to that, Mr. Mugabe?
Shame, shame. Shame we say.
All right, calm down, everybody. Speaking of terrorist attacks, the last time we spoke to the gentleman who will do our sport this morning, he was in Turkey, in Istanbul, about to catch a flight, and the Turkey attacks happened. He is back in South Africa. He's happily ensconced with his family and friends in the most beautiful city in South Africa, Cape Town. And we'll speak to Ben's dad, Chris, in just a short while to find out what's going on in the sport. Mubs, we'll get to some more news a little bit later on. But here's some comments from Romain, who says, the NEC of the ANC, they know Zuma's a liability.
Yes, they absolutely know this.
Look, you'd have to be blind, deaf, dumb, mute and tied to some kind of post to not know that the president was a liability to anybody.
Absolutely.
No one I know wants to be associated with him at the moment.
Yeah, but they are choosing
to
get rid of him.
Correct. Instead of being principled, they would rather stick with him because they rake in plenty of cash through his presidency.
Mm.
And that's the truth. By the way, the big story making all the news, and we'll start the sport with this, is Wade van Niekerk, our own South African 400 meters runner. We'll speak about that in a second. It's our 7th medal. He won gold.
Yeah.
And broke a world record.
Good for him.
Yes. I'll talk about that just now. Mike says, lol, I think, about the call from Rob in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Well, let's go to the sport, shall we? Now, wait another second. Let's check in on the sport and see what's happening over there. It is time for Chris to join us. He's on Skype, right, Flax? Good morning, Chris. How are you? Chris, hello.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah, I'm here.
We've got some good sports news to start the sport this morning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Although you've taken a bit my thunder away from me. Hey, Gareth, that guy from Amsterdam, he was definitely smoking upside-down cigarettes. Oh, I think that counted, he said like, I think 74 times.
Yes. In that interview.
All right, Chris, let's talk
about... Okay, let's go.
Let's talk about Wade, a gold medal for South Africa. This is a very big deal. 400 meters, he did it 43.03, Team South Africa's seventh medal at Rio. This is a major win, right?
Gareth, you just said everything I was about to say. Why do you bother calling me?
I'm setting you up to tell us more.
Okay, I'll tell you what happened this morning. Instead of getting up about 5-ish to prepare for this show, I got up at 2:54 to watch that race live.
Wow.
And I am so glad I did, because I watched the most historical moment I think I've seen in South African sport.
Absolutely.
That Wade Van Niekerk, he started in lane 8, which is the worst lane you can possibly start, because you can't see anybody in front of you, obviously.
Is that in the inside or the outside?
The outside. It's okay. Called the blind lane, because everybody's behind you when you start.
Yeah.
So off he went, and the two dudes inside him were catching him, and I thought, oh no, this is the inevitable is going to happen. But he was doing okay, into the last straight, they start catching him, and I thought, that's it, we're not going to make it. And then from somewhere, he just picked up more speed, and he absolutely blasted the field. He won by more than 5 meters.
Sure.
Gee, that's incredible.
It was incredible. You guys have just got to watch it. It's going to be on TV all day today. And I tell you, he's going to be right behind him, probably 5 inches from his ass. He's going to be that sports minister, Fikile.
Oh, yeah, you watch. He's going to be there for a picture.
He's going to want a piece of this.
Now, I'm amazed. I mean, you know, as much as we love Ben on the sport, I don't think he's ever woken up at 2:55 to cover a 400-meter race. So this is a new level of excellence that we've reached in sports commentary as well, it's got to be said.
Mm. Well, you know, Ben sets the bar very high, and I can't let him down.
Yes,
so,
you know,
I can't sort of straddle out of bed at 5 to 6 like you do, get to the office late.
No, that's absolutely true. All right, what else is going on at the Olympics? Anything noteworthy over the weekend?
Yes, as you said, we've got 7 medals now, but we did manage to pick up a silver on Saturday night in the long jump.
Uh-huh.
A young guy called Luvo Manyonga came second. He was actually leading, and the very last jump of the event, an American just blew it. He just he beat our guy by a couple of centimeters. But anyway, our guy got silver, which was a fantastic performance.
Apparently,
so that makes us 7 medals, 1 gold, 5 silver, 1 bronze.
Apparently, there's quite a story about Luvo. Apparently, he used to be a tick addict and managed to get himself off the stuff and got himself in shape and is the most incredible long jumper. I mean, silver is nothing to sneeze at.
Absolutely. He did phenomenally. And just as I was about to go and make myself a cup of tea, literally at 3:25 this morning was the men's 100 meters.
Uh-huh.
What a build-up, because they announced the guys, they come out one at a time like gladiators into the arena.
Yes.
And amongst the 8 runners was a South African called Akane Simbina.
That's right.
Has anybody ever heard of him?
Yes, I heard a little interview with him just the other day, and he was very excited to be racing alongside people like Usain Bolt, because it raises the whole game for him. He said that it's great to get that kind of attention, even if you're one of the also-rans.
Well, he wasn't just an also-ran. He actually, there he was lined up against Usain Bolt and Gatlin. He actually came 5th in a time of 9.94, which wasn't bad. You know, there were still 3 guys behind him. But anyway, Bolt, he took off rather poorly for him. Gatlin was ahead of him. But halfway through the field, Bolt sort of went into third gear and just breezed past the field and ended up winning by about a meter. He even had time to look to the left to see where Gatlin was.
I love that guy. Isn't he the greatest? He really is something to watch. The 100-meter men's sprint is probably the apex of Olympic events in terms of the crowd that it pulls and the excitement that it generates all over the world. I mean, there isn't really a bigger event in the Olympics, is there?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. And everybody wanted to see Bolt and everybody wanted a piece of him. And that means he's won 3 consecutive gold medals in the last 3 Olympics at that event, which has never been done. And the commentator actually said, I don't think it's ever going to be done again. He did his lap of honor, as they always do, with the flag and everything. And he got to the end and there was more photographs. And he actually said to the reporters, excuse me a second, I've just got to say something to somebody. And he ran up the stairs and the person he wanted to say something to was Wade Van Niekerk.
You're kidding.
He went up to Wade and obviously said, well done, dude, man, whatever they say in Jamaica. He actually gave Wade a hug and then went back down to the photographers.
That's
now, how cool is
fan.
That?
Wow. Fantastic. That's a picture moment right there.
Absolutely. And that's not all. Okay, let's move on to something else in the Olympics, because that was like 4 o'clock in the morning. There's no way I'm getting back to bed now, so I carry on.
I'm sorry, we've ruined your day, Chris. At least it's all good news, yeah?
Michael Phelps managed to get his 23rd gold medal on Friday in the relay. Great Britain won their first gold in 112 years in the men's golf yesterday.
That's incredible.
Justin Rose beat Henrik Stenson by 1 shot, so Ben will be happy about that.
Right.
Great Britain also won gold in the men's tennis,
yes.
Didn't they, Mabelle?
Was it who won the gold?
Come on! You're the big tennis queen.
I have not been watching the Olympics as thoroughly as you have, Chris.
Caught her out.
Listen, that most exciting, dynamic male tennis player from Britain. Now, come on! I'm giving
Andy
you
Andy Murray.
Andy Murray, you got it. He retained his Olympic title.
And look how excited
Great Britain
we are.
Continue to dominate the cycling. It's just all Great Britain in the velodrome at the moment.
Well, apparently Kirsty Coventry from Zimbabwe is on a bit of a winning streak at the moment too.
I missed that one.
Yeah,
are you watching some Olympics I wasn't watching?
No. Apparently she scored a couple of Zim medals. And you know, good news in Zim is a rare thing. So people are very excited about that.
I'm sure.
So far, the medal tally puts the U.S. at 69, China at 45, Great Britain at 38, and Russia at 30.
Well, tables turn. Over time, tables turn. There's the new guys on the block.
Right.
Okay, enough Olympics for now. A little bit about cricket. Pakistan managed to thrash England by 10 wickets yesterday to level the series, and so managed to prevent England becoming the number one test-ranked country.
Absolutely.
I'm not even going to bother about the rugby because it was so insignificant. So I'll move straight on to the English Premier League.
All right.
The first day of the new season on Saturday, of the first 7 matches, they managed to score an incredible 14 goals. I thought I was actually looking at the local South African score sheets.
Yeah.
It was 2-1, 0-1, 1-1, 0-1, 1-1, 1-1, 2-1. And thank God for Super Sunday, because yesterday there were 2 games and there were 12 goals scored. First up was Mourinho United beat Bournemouth 3-1.
All right.
And that was followed by, I'm afraid to say, same again, Arsenal, who went down 4-3 at home to Liverpool.
Oh.
Quite a good game, but I think Arsene might be the first guy to get the chop this year. It could be a good bet there, Ben, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure. That would be
a little bit of Spanish football news. Lionel Messi is now a blonde.
Oh.
Oh yes, of course.
Is this something that is important to his sporting prowess? Do you think it's going to have a positive
effect?
But
when a guy suddenly paints his hair blonde, something is going amiss.
Right.
Okay, a little bit of a quiz. Gareth, don't answer this one. This is for the rest of the team.
Right.
Where is the Olympics being held this year?
Rio.
Okay, no, in Brazil. Okay, but in Rio, yes?
Yes.
What is the capital? What is the capital of Brazil, Michael?
Flax, do you know the capital of Brazil?
Currently, no.
Mabs, come on, Michael, stop watching Bieber and all those other programs. Come on, Mabs, what's the capital of Brazil?
Well, I know a lot of people have assumed that Rio is the capital of Brazil, but that is not the case.
No, well, what is it then?
It's Brasilia.
Well done. Congratulations. Well done. Okay, guys, that's it for me. I just wanted to say that on Friday, remember Ben flew to Thailand?
Yes, that's right.
And if you remember Friday morning, there was bomb blasts in Thailand.
Yeah, I think you Karpinskis should rather stay at home.
Yeah, all of you.
It looks like it. We seem to be in the danger zone all the time.
Yeah, rather just stay at home. Planes and airports are not the best for you. And whenever these things happen, it seems that the places that you're going to become terror hotspots.
One more question. The capital of Turkey?
Ankara.
Well done. Okay, you guys are improving. You're improving.
Thank you.
Okay, ciao.
All right, thank you, Chris. Ben's dad with a quick look at the sport this morning and terrific job. He was up at 2:55 in the morning to watch Wade Fanikak win the 400 meters, the gold medal, smash the world record, and to watch Akani also take on Usain in the 100 meter sprint and not do too badly by coming fifth. I didn't know, and I don't know if you'd pick this up anywhere else, that Usain Bolt went up into the stands to congratulate Wade Fanikak.
I did not know that either. I'm expecting to see hundreds and thousands of pictures of that moment.
You know, it's amazing when you have so much capital, like, and I'm not talking about money or prestige or anything else, but you've got the whole world watching you like Usain Bolt is, and you're generous with yourself and your congratulations and your happiness for others. And this is why the guy's a hero. You know, let anybody say anything shitty about Usain Bolt and they'll deal with me. Yes. By the way, the mornings are becoming brighter and lighter, even though August is almost at an end. And we're technically still in winter. Very exciting to note that soon it's going to be summer. Before we move on to anything else, let's get into the money, which every Monday morning means Anthea Gardner's here.
She works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. I met her there.
All right, here she is. Let's talk to Anthea Gardner this morning and see what the hell we can learn about where the money is, how we can get more of it, and how we can improve what we already know about the stock markets, the best things to invest in, the economy, the currencies, and everything else. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are we?
We're well. We're good. It's getting lighter. We're looking forward to spring.
Yes. Money shot the 15th of August. Let's talk about what's happening in the South African economy.
Okay. Where shall we start? With economics then.
Right.
Okay. So last week we had some data. Mining output fell 2.5% in June, which is not a great number.
No.
But this is very exciting. Manufacturing output grew by 4.5%. So this is for June, right? And this is the year-on-year number. So kind of from the same time last year, so comparing apples by apples. And I think the key here is that 8 out of the subdivisions of manufacturing showed some growth. It wasn't huge, but at least it wasn't negative. So the previous number was 4 out of 10 of the subdivisions grew. And I'm all excited about this because I think what this is indicating is that there are some signs of life in the economy. And economists were quick last week to kind of jump on the bandwagon and say, actually, this might actually even lift our annual GDP growth number off that 0% mark, which is very exciting. I mean, that's kind of what we need, right?
Oh, any good news. We'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah. Just before I get off the economics, I see that the national minimum wage debate has started again because our deputy president has been appointed as the chairman of this committee that is going to make the decision, and he's finally got his committee of 7 people together, and by October, I think it is, they'll decide on what level of minimum wage will be implemented in the country.
Right.
Now, I'm still out of this. Like, I can't decide, because I know that in the first half of this year, we had over 100,000 people, more people, move below the breadline, so move into poverty.
Right.
But at the same time, we had 430,000 more unemployed people for the first half of this year. Mm-hmm. And I've read two studies, one by WITS and one by UCT, saying that the minimum wage will increase unemployment, and one saying that it won't. Now, who to believe, I don't know. Although I tell you what I do know, though, is that a national minimum wage does not help unemployment. And we have huge unemployment problems in this country. Huge. 27%. It's almost unacceptable.
First of all, I mean, what's your philosophical take on this? Is it important that we have a minimum wage?
I do think it is important. I do think we can't pay or take advantage of people. Mm. I just don't know if the timing's very good. You know, we're struggling as it is.
And it's a pricing question, because what is your minimum wage? If you put it at a certain level and it's too high, you're counting a lot of people out of jobs that you could give jobs to. Some people would be prepared to work for less money, and who are we to get in the way? On the other hand, you don't want exploitation, where your minimum wage is so low, or there is no minimum wage, that nobody's protected. That there is basically, it's like a scourge. You're taking really poor people, and you're making them work for far too little money just because they're desperate.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between is the golden space.
But it's so difficult to guess where in between,
no,
right?
Well, clearly, the last people you want deciding this are politicians, because these people have no idea of how the economy works.
You make such a good point.
But
there.
Also, the politicians and the workers themselves will have different ideas of where this golden place is.
Correct. And it used to be in this country that the unions and the politicians were in bed with each other. Now, it seems that the politicians are almost working against the workers, and that the workers find themselves unrepresented, largely, in the political space.
And what do you do about where it is globally? Because you also want global investors to come and build factories so that they can have, so that we can have investment, right?
It's very complicated, yeah. This is. But so what is the proposition on the table?
There's so many numbers. I can't remember them off the top of my head at the moment. You know, it ranges from kind of 1,300 to 4,500 or somewhere in that region. And I'm not sure.
All right. So basically, let's take the middle of that number, somewhere around 3,000. Mm. Then, if it's 3,000 rand, if you're earning more than 3,000 rand a month in this country, then you should be above minimum wage.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
I mean, a general, because they're different sectors of the economy, blah, 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 blah. But if you're earning more than 3,000 rand, you're okay. You're not being exploited. This is how you figure it out in your head. If you are less than that and you're in a full-time job, you are definitely being exploited, according to these figures.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, but if you're unemployed, you're earning nothing, right?
Sure, which means that you would rather be earning 2,000 rand than zero.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Certainly.
Okay.
Right. So that manufacturing number was great. And quite frankly, on the back of that and this excitement about GDP growth, we saw the industrial sector on Friday really kind of catch fire. I mean, lots of shares were up. Even Richemont, which up until now has really been disappointing, was up over 3%. Even the telecoms, MTN was up, for heaven's sake, on Friday.
And Richemont traditionally bets against South Africa almost.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Yeah. It's a hedge.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's a rand hedge. And on Friday morning, actually, the rand was slightly weaker. But then in the afternoon, we had U.S. retail sales come through and they were very disappointing. So the dollar weakened, the rand strengthened. You always get that. Right?
Yeah,
I always have to
sure.
say that. So actually, we kind of saw The market closed positive on Friday, but not as high as where it started the day, I must say. And just quickly, while I was talking about these retail numbers, very disappointing. On top of that, they had producer price inflation, which decreased by 0.4% month on month, 0.2% year on year. And this is a problem. So even though we've seen good jobs, we've seen nice growth numbers out of the U.S., they also want inflation. So they can't have kind of jobs growth without inflationary growth. You just don't want prices moving backwards, basically.
I don't know if anybody noticed this, but during all the campaigning in the last month for elections, the EFF made very little noise about
nationalizing mines. It wasn't a major part of their campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason for that is that they're also reading the writing on the wall, which is that mining is not something you want to be in.
Yeah,
like you might have 10 years ago.
And so what now? We're going to move to manufacturing. Well, don't touch the factory.
No, no, no. What I think I mean is that perhaps the EFF is starting to realize that there is some wisdom in not fiddling too much with the markets in certain areas.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's an evolution of their thinking, which is also good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't top 10
as
in their priority
prominent
list.
As it used to be.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, what else?
So as I said, the all-share index closed about 1% higher on Friday. Avenge, remember we spoke about Avenge on Wednesday and Thursday? It was up another 18% on Friday. So for the week, the move was 40% higher. This is a company that is still making more than 200 million rand loss, by the way. It just
This is amazing. If we'd listened to you on Friday morning and we thought, oh, well, 20% is as much as it's going to go up, and we'd bought, we would have made another 20% by the close of business on Friday.
I think there's some short covering going on in this stock, though, because you know the construction sector is really unloved at the moment.
Mm.
And I think what the hedge funds have done is they've shorted the stock. You know what shorting is, right? When you sell without actually owning the stock, so you have to borrow it and sell. And when this price goes up by 20% in 2 or 3 days, suddenly they've lost 20%. So now they have to buy the stock back at these higher levels. And as they buy the stock back, they're pushing the stock higher. So another 18% on Friday.
Right.
And on top of, in fact, I think it's across the construction sector, actually, because remember Murray and Roberts on Thursday also had a bounce. And on Friday, PPC also was up. It was up 5%. And so this is another company that's in trouble. You know the story there, right? They got downgraded 2 months ago, I think it was, which triggered covenants in their bond issues, which means they had to go to their investors and offer the investors early redemption. The investors voted to take the money. PPC had to run to the banks to get lines of credit. And on top of that, to cover these lines of credit or the debt that they now owe the banks, they have to issue new shares. And the problem with PPC is that they have to issue the amount of shares equal to their market cap. In fact, so what they're doing is diluting their shares by exactly half. So for every one share out there, they have to issue another share. So imagine if you're a shareholder and your share is trading at 10 rand and they issue new shares, you suddenly have a share that's trading at 5 rand a share.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's trading at about 9 rand 60 now. So it's had a nice little bounce since we started talking about it. It was 6 rand 75. Nowhere near the highs of 35 rand 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Daryl Castle, the CEO, is working pretty hard to get this capital raise going. I mean, it's a scary, sad story, you know, very difficult.
Okay.
And then another share that was up on Friday, Stellar Capital.
Thank goodness. We've been waiting for this for how long? I mean, you told us to buy this stuff ages ago.
Yeah, 2 rand 30, right? When they did their capital raise.
What are we at the moment on Stellar Capital?
It must be about 1 rand 60 or somewhere around there now.
Okay, it's still not where we bought it at, no. But okay. You're still confident that when they make their play on something serious, it's going to suddenly see an uptick?
So I think it bounced on Friday because what I said on Thursday morning or Friday morning, I said that I'm actually worried that the share will be suppressed for a while longer because actually they've got a couple of things in play. So last week we spoke about Amacor, the Amalgamated Electronics Corporation. But before that, they've got two big deals on the table, Tor, which they'd made a bid for, and Prescient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not paying a huge premium. Both of them were about 2%. Well, Tor and Amacor were about 2% premium. Prescient a little bit harder to figure out, but the problem here is that when they do these deals, or when these deals are finalized, they go to shareholders and they say, would you, as a Tor shareholder, like to be paid in cash, or would you like to receive Stellar shares? And if Tor shareholders decide that they'd rather have Stellar shares, then guess what? They have to issue new shares, and then there's a dilutory effect. And if all these get taken up, it's about 600,000 shares. I think overall, these are great deals. I really do, but I am worried about the issuing of new shares. Or maybe it's priced in already, which is why it's not back up at 230, in which case it'll bounce sooner than we can hope. Well, I hope, anyway.
Absolutely. Now, one other thing that went up, if you look at the numbers on Friday, was Capital & Counties for a change, at 3.43% up on the day.
Yes, that's because of the weaker rand, though.
Right. So are we going to eventually see this start to reach the levels that we bought it at?
Oh, no, 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 no. I don't think so.
But it's still not time to sell.
Well, hang on. Let me put it this way. Not in a hurry.
Okay.
So it could, yes, because I think when the world kind of realizes that London is not falling apart, and yes, it is still very much the center and people still go there and they still buy property. And this prime property, I can't believe that you would think that the prime property in London is now worth 30% or 35% less.
Mm.
Just,
it's madness.
Yeah, just like back of the matchbox calculation, surely 35% less?
Doesn't make sense.
No, exactly. So I'm still holding on. I don't like the fact that it's quite volatile. It has traded at 48 Rand, which I really don't like.
Mm. That's at 50 at the moment.
I'd like it to bounce a bit higher, please. Yeah.
Well, we'll wait for that. Tell us about the JSE.
Yes, because they reported their first half results on Friday as well. Diluted headline earnings per share up 19% year on year, but the share down 1% on Friday, which is a little bit annoying. But I think people were expecting a higher number from them. So, you know,
it's also mostly been climbing.
Yes, yes. In fact, I've got some numbers for you.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. So for 1 year, the share is up 16% when the All-Z or the All-Share Index, the general market, is up only 4%. In 2 years, the JSE share is up 73% when the All-Share is up only 2.5%. Hmm. And since listing in 2006, the JSE share is up 740% from 20 Rand a share to 169 Rand when the general market is up only, in inverted commas, 188%. So it has done particularly well. But you know, this is a volume-driven business. And so I actually looked at some of the numbers. The market cap of the JSE is now over $1 trillion. So times that by whatever the exchange rate is at the moment, 1350.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge, right? And average daily volume is about 24 million Rand. And you know, the JSE takes a cut, a percentage of everything that's traded, which is how they make so much money, cash. I think the concern with this is that the JSE is, believe it or not, a technology-based company. So
sure it is.
It's all about technology. It's all about efficiency. It's about trading
information,
online.
Information systems, yeah.
And instantaneous, really. So they've said that they need to spend some more money just on keeping their systems kind of in shape and on par and absolutely going. I mean, I do still like it, even though it's had such a good run so far. You know, their billable value is up 31% year on year. Now, this is one of the things, Gareth, for our portfolio that I've been working on, because actually when you trade on the JSE, no matter what you do, no matter what amount of trade you put through, the minimum is somewhere around, I think it was 60 Rand. So imagine if you're buying shares to the value of 100 Rand and you're paying 60 Rand up front. Like, this is everything, right? This is including trading costs and brokerage and management fees and everything. You're 60% behind already before you've even started. You need to make that up. So I think we found a way to minimize that to reduce it below 1%. So that's exciting. But you see how it's a good business model, right?
Mm, absolutely. That makes perfect sense when you put it in your inimitable style that cuts through the crap like I can't.
Yeah.
I got you.
And then another share that fell, even though it had a fairly good trading update on Friday, was Harmony Gold. The share was down about 1% or just over 1%. And this is weird because they said headline earnings per share would be over 200% higher for the quarter or for the half for the year.
Hmm.
But mostly that's driven by the higher gold price. So, you know, gold's had a bit of a rally. And again, it's gold shares. They're so volatile. You know, in the last year, Harmony Gold is up 307%. But, since 2006, let's take it since 2006, because that's where we looked at the JSC, it's down 30%. So it's so difficult. I mean, in February of 2009, it was 123 Rand share. At the end of last year, it was a 9 Rand share. It's now a 60 Rand share.
Right.
So really all over the place. And I think my point with us, with gold, and we've said this before, if you're going to put gold into your portfolio, I think see it as a short to medium term hedge against low GDP or low economic growth.
Right.
Kind of that's where you want to see it. And it's so hard to predict on these mining companies. I think our mining companies have done well, generally speaking, in the last 2 or 3 years to cut costs and really, you know, be smart about the fact that commodity prices are so low. But yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
And then the week ahead, what do we have to look forward to?
Oh, we've got a busy week this week. We've got some big companies reporting, some important companies reporting. Standard Bank, Billiton, AngloGold Ashanti, another gold company. And then, of course, in China, I think it's on Wednesday, because it's always a Wednesday. I don't know why. Tencent always reports on a Wednesday. We've got Tencent, so of course that's the read-through for Naspers.
Right, so if Tencent does well, Naspers does well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed there. I think we should see a good set of results. I'm a bit worried about their advertising rollout in South America, but other than that, I think we're fine.
What is Naspers trading at the moment?
2,150, around there.
Not
Rand
bad.
Per share.
Not bad.
It's all right. Yeah. But remember, we cut them at 2,300.
Yeah.
And now the key now is to decide when we're going to get back into them. Because I do think I want to get back into them at some stage.
I did what you said there.
And you took your profits, right?
I cut when you told me to cut. So I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to you when it comes to putting money back in. And don't forget, we will be revealing at the end of this month our own, what would you call it, a fractional share ownership portfolio.
Yeah.
Which Anthea will manage and which we will be giving you details of. And you could put in anything from $100 to a whole lot more if you've got a whole lot more. A lot of people waiting for the final announcement on that. We're just tying up all the loose ends, but it'll all be ready to go by the end of the month.
We're close. I would say we're very close.
Very close. So lots of exciting stuff to wait for.
All right.
Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure. Thanks
Excellent.
Very much.
Anthea Gardner, a look at the markets this morning. It is just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're ready for a good day with us, and I hope you're ready for summer, which is just around the corner. Mubs, we're allowed to celebrate already, or no?
Oh,
you think it's too soon?
No,
too soon?
No, it's not too soon.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Get up, get going. It's Monday. Come on. Full week for the first time in ages. Which means we've actually got things to do. We've got to make 5 days work for us. Well done to Wade for Nick Eric. What great news to wake up to this morning. A new world record and gold! CliffCentral.com